Psalms and chapter 100. I think this is maybe a popular passage of scripture. This Sunday, Brother David Ward on his radio broadcast this morning, he preached out of Psalms 100. I didn't hear all of it, but I heard some of it. And it has to do with giving thanks, and maybe that's why it was chosen. But when I heard him say he was going to preach out of Psalms 100, I thought, well, that's what I'm going to try to preach out of this morning. So if you heard what Brother David had to say, you'll hear two messages today out of Psalms chapter 100. But I feel like this is where the Lord would have us to go this morning. And we're going to read the whole chapter. It's just five verses. Psalms chapter 100 and verses 1 through 5. We'll read those verses and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to be here today and all the blessings you've given to us. We just praise your holy name, and Lord, we realize that God, as we come today and we think this week especially about Thanksgiving, that Lord, that shouldn't just be one day out of the year, but it ought to be a characteristic of our lives that we are thankful. And dear Father, as we come today, I pray that you'd be with all these many things that have already been mentioned this morning, those that have lost loved ones, those that are sick, those that are traveling. Sister Betty's sister, she's gone down to Winston to be with her. And Lord, just there's so much going on and has gone on this past week that Lord, I would forget to mention half of it. But God, we come today realizing we need your help. And I pray for liberty. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, God, you'd save the lost. Lord, I'm thankful your mercy still goes out. You still call. You still save. Help us as thy people, Lord, that we would exhibit thankfulness in our lives. Lord, we ought to set the example. And Lord, in our heart and in our lives and in our actions, God, help us to be thankful. Lord, we come asking for your help right now, and we're thankful you let us be here today, and I'm even thankful for the laughter this morning. It just done our hearts good. Lord, you know, we know your word says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and dear God, we're thankful for that today. So, Lord, help us and have your way, and we'll thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, I'm sure you're probably familiar with this passage of Scripture, and a lot of times children will learn it in Sunday school, and they'll recite it for us, and it's always a blessing, but there's a lot of good lessons here in Psalms 100. We just look there in verse number 4, just to sort of get started this morning. Look what the Bible says. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And so the Bible here is talking about being thankful and blessing his name. And so we're going to think about that just a little bit this morning. But we've already heard a good example of this already today. There's a lot of talk goes on this time of the year about how busy we are. And we're probably all already busy. And then the holidays roll around, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's and all that. So we add more on top of already being busy to begin with. So we are doubly busy. And there's a lot of talk about that, how much there is to do. And it seems like there's an endless cycle of things to do and to be done and places to go and people to see. And sometimes it gets a little bit overwhelming. To think about all the things there is to do and all the activities and all the things there is to see. And so we want to just think just a little while this morning just on the subject of thankfulness or thanksgiving. what the Bible here in Psalms 100 has to say about that. Have you ever thought about what that means? Just the thought of being thankful or thankfulness. What does that mean? And I'm not talking about the pilgrims coming to America. I've preached on that before, and there's certainly a great lesson in there. We think about the pilgrims, but not thinking about that as far as what is Thanksgiving anyway. Not thinking about, well, we're going to just get together with our families maybe and have some turkey, have a meal, watch some football. Different people do different things. Not talking about that, but to truly be thankful. What does that mean? Psalms 100, and a lot of the Psalms, the word psalm means song. And so it's a song the children of Israel would sing. And this is a psalm or a song of praise. And this praise has to do specifically with being thankful unto the Lord. And so it's just a little song, but there's some lessons in here that I want to try to point out this morning. And we're just going to go verse by verse. And I don't think I've ever done that before out of Psalms 100. So we'll start in verse number 1. And we want to say first of all today that thankfulness, first of all, is an attitude. Thankfulness, first of all, is an attitude. The Bible says in verse number 1, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And notice what it says, all ye lands. That's for everybody. Thankfulness and thanksgiving, not just talking about a holiday, not talking about a day on the calendar, but thankfulness ought to be universal. You know, we live in a day and a time, everybody talks about global this, global that, talks about the world. Well, Thanksgiving is fitting all the world over. It ought to be universal all around the world, whether you're in America or Canada or Mexico or China or France or wherever it is. Thanksgiving is for everybody. Thanksgiving is for all people. Thanksgiving is for every nation, and it's an attitude that we ought to have. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He wasn't just talking about the nation of Israel. He wasn't just talking about the Jewish people, but thankfulness ought to be universal. It ought to be something that's celebrated all the world over. If you look in the dictionary at the word thanksgiving, one of the definitions of it is a public celebration of divine goodness. And so when we think about Thanksgiving and we think about this country, it used to mean more than it does now. You know, once upon a time in America, Christmas was not celebrated. I mean, it just didn't make a big deal out of it. And a lot of people, once upon a time, the early settlers and people in America before the late 1800s, they had an idea that Christmas was sort of pagan, not because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but because of what happened in December. The pagans celebrated the dying of the old year and the resurrecting of the new year, and they celebrated the sun god and all of these things. But Thanksgiving was far more widely celebrated in America because of the pilgrims and because of the early proclamations and even the presidents got in on it. I think it was Abraham Lincoln that finally made it official and that we would celebrate Thanksgiving on the day that we do now. But there's a lot of proclamation thanksgivings before that. But Thanksgiving is something that ought to be celebrated all the way around. The Bible said there, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, when we think about Thanksgiving being an attitude, when you think about being thankful, thankfulness is something that in order to really do, you have to slow down to do it. You have to take time to be thankful. You have to reflect on what it means. What are we being thankful for? You have to meditate upon being thankful. You have to pause. And I think that's one of the reasons why in our modern society, Thanksgiving tends to be sort of swept under the rug and, you know, just sort of crammed in between Halloween and Christmas and thought of by a lot of people as just the day before Black Friday. Boy, people going to go shopping on Friday or going to eat turkey on Thursday. Why is it that we don't celebrate Thanksgiving more than we do? Because we're in such a big hurry. And if you're, any of the other holidays, you can rush through them. You don't have to stop and think very much about it. But when you come to Thanksgiving, if you're really going to celebrate Thanksgiving, you're going to have to slow down and think about it. You're going to have to get in the proper attitude in order to really do Thanksgiving. You're going to have to think about the one that we're thanking and what he's done for us. So Thanksgiving, you got to slow down. And that is contrary to our nature, number one, but it's contrary to this time of the year. Busy, 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 going, going, going. And we're going so fast and things are happening and got to be here and got to do this and got to do that. It's hard for us just to stop and to give thanks unto the Lord. But I believe if you study out Psalms 100, you'll find that they had to stop. That they had to get in the right attitude. They had to get in the right frame of mind. I think it would be impossible to really be thankful in a rush. Now you might sit down and say, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for this food. Gobble, 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 gobble. But is that really being thankful? You're going to have to slow down. You have to think about what does this mean to me? What am I really thankful for? And so I'm thankful for a time of the year where we should come apart and take some days off and be with our family and be with our church and be with our loved ones and just take some time out of our busy lives and just say, you know, I just need to slow down and be thankful. Be thankful. I remember several years ago, Preacher Carl, he was our pastor when we were members over at Mountaindale. And I know he used this illustration a whole lot of times, but he would talk about being a boy and growing up on the farm and going out to feed the hogs. And he said, you go up there and you'd throw the slop over to them, throw the food over to them. And he said, those pigs, those hogs, they'd come in and they'd just gobble all that food up. He said, they never did stop and look where that food was coming from. They just would dive right in and never look up to the one that put it in the trough for them. And he said, we ought not to be like that. We ought not to be like pigs, just gobble up all the blessings, but we ought to stop and look at where blessings come from. So thankfulness, thanksgiving is an attitude, first of all. It ought to be an attitude of our heart. It ought to be an attitude of our life and our actions and all of these things. So number one, thankfulness is an attitude. And it's an attitude for all people. Lost people ought to be thankful. He said, all ye lands. They ought to be thankful because he's our creator. He made us. We'll look at that in just a moment. Number two this morning, thankfulness is an action. Now, I'm going to show you some things here in these verses about that it's more than just an attitude. It's more than something that we think, but it's something that we do. Thankfulness will be shown forth by action in our lives. Number one, it is action because it serves. Look at verse number two, what the Bible says. The Bible said, serve the Lord with gladness. Now he's talking about being thankful. But he's talking about serving the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, when you think about being thankful, you're also going to hear the word gratitude. I got to thinking about that this week. What does it mean to have gratitude? And I looked up that word in the dictionary. To have gratitude is an agreeable emotion. It is thankfulness. But it's different than thankfulness by itself because when you have gratitude, you actually want to give in return for what's been done unto you. And so gratitude comes with it and an idea of serving that we would want to serve the Lord with gladness for all that he's done for us. That's more than being thankful. That is showing gratitude unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness, the Bible says. Gratitude is accompanied by a sense of duty because you've been benefited by the Lord. You've been blessed by the Lord. Now, there's nothing that is worse than somebody that is doing something, but they don't really want to be doing it. You ever heard a preacher ask somebody to get up and sing, and they didn't want to get up and sing? Oh, come on up here and sing. And oh, I don't want to. And just about have to beg somebody to use their talent. Now, if they're just being modest, I'm not talking about just being modest, but somebody that just didn't want to. Do you think that's a blessing to the person that sings? Do you think it's ever a blessing to the congregation to get somebody to begrudgingly get up and do something for the Lord? Let me ask you something. Did you really want to be here today? I learned a long time ago that you can get people to do something out of guilt, but they won't get a blessing out of it, and you won't get a blessing out of it either. I'll tell you a little funny something, and Abigail might kill me for doing this, but we're all like this. And the choir had practice Monday night, and they're practicing for the Christmas program, and she come in, she'd been at school all day long, and she was tired. And we've all been there. Boy, I don't want to get back out. And she expressed that while we were eating supper. She'd been working and she was tired and she'd driven over to Ashe County and back and she was tired. And she said, I don't want to go. I'm tired. We all understand that. I'm not throwing rocks, but here's what I told her. I said, you don't have to go. I said, the Lord understands. I said, it's only Christmas. It's just Jesus' birthday. Don't worry about it. Just stay here. Well, she came on to choir practice on Monday night. She would have came anyway. But aren't we all like that sometimes? Boy, I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired. I don't want to go. But now, if we do something and we don't really want to, it's not a blessing. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. You can guilt somebody into doing something sometime. But I've learned as a pastor, parents, I mean, it goes all across the board. If that's somebody's motivation, that's not a very good motivation. We ought to serve the Lord with gladness, not with guiltness. We ought to serve the Lord because we want to. We ought to serve the Lord because we have gratitude in our hearts for all the things that He's done for us. Gratitude is more than thankfulness. Gratitude thanks you for the meal and wants to wash the dishes. Some of you parents would pass out if that happened at your house. Some of you wives would pass out if your husband said, honey, I love you. That's the best supper. I appreciate that. I'm going to wash the dishes. I just want to show my gratitude for what you've done for me. But that's what gratitude is. Gratitude wants to serve. Gratitude wants to do something. Hey, God's been good to me. I want to show that some way. It's an action word. Gratitude serves. The Bible said, number two, gratitude sings. Look at verse number two. It says, come before His presence with singing. This is something the children of Israel had to stop and do on purpose. They're coming to worship God together and serve the Lord. And they're coming together with singing, the Bible says. Now, I'm glad it says in verse number one, make a joyful noise. Because that's about all I feel like I can do. My singing range is not very... We sang that song this morning, that last song, and I can only hit the middle. I can't hit the high and I can't hit the low, but I can make a joyful noise. But Christian people are unique among people in the world. We're a singing people. We're to come before His presence with singing, the Bible says. Singing is an expression of what's going on in our heart. Has the Lord ever put a song in your heart? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5, when it's talking about, let me just read that for you. It's talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5 and 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then you know what it says in verse 20? Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Singing in our heart to the Lord is associated in the Bible with giving thanks for all things. When we are, can you sing and not be thankful? But if you just find yourself singing to the Lord, it'll be accompanied with a heart of thankfulness because the two just go together. Thankfulness serves. Thankfulness sings. Look in verse number 4. Thankfulness shows up. Look what the Bible says. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. That's not talking about the food court down at the mall. That's talking about the house of God. That's where they were going to. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Thankfulness shows up. Shows up. You say, oh no, he's going to talk about coming to church and being faithful and being here when the doors are open. Yeah, that's a good time to talk about that. Because thankfulness shows up. Now the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why did you come today? I came because I wanted to. I look forward to coming to the house of God. I look forward to meeting together with God's people. I look forward to the songs. I look forward to the prayer time together. I look forward to preaching, or if I'm not, to somebody preaching the Word of God. It helps me. It is a blessing unto me. It said, enter into His courts with thanksgiving, the Bible said. Or into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We ought to show up because we want to. People do best the things they want to do. People do best the things they want to do. And I've learned down through the years, people can do what they want to do. I've had people give me all kinds of excuses why they couldn't come to church. But I'll tell you, they can make it to Walmart. They can make it to somewhere else. I had a fellow tell me one time, long time ago, he said, I used to come more faithful, but when they put that hardwood floor down, or when they put the carpet down, he said, I'm just afraid I'll trip over it. I put that on the list of top 10 lousy excuses I've heard down through the years. Then you ought not to go anywhere that has carpet. That'd be pretty hard to do, wouldn't it? I've heard all kinds. But you know, if we're thankful, nobody will have to twist our arm to come. Nobody will have to make us feel guilty to come to the house of God. Nobody will have to hang over our heads that it's Jesus' birthday or, you know, that whatever. We ought to just come out of a thankful heart for what He's done for us. It shows up. Verse number four. It's action because it not only serves and sings and shows up, but it says something. In the last part of verse number 4, it says, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, the Bible says. Now, I like to cook for my family every once in a while. Does anybody else like to? I like to cook something on the grill. Or I like to put something in the crock pot. I like to try new things. I just, every once in a while, not every day, but every once in a while, I enjoy doing that. We grill out several times during the summer, and I just enjoy that. Does anybody else enjoy doing that for your family? There's a few. And some of you like somebody that does like to do that. Amen. If you enjoy cooking for your family, do you ever charge them? Might try something here. I might get something started. Abigail's going to bring that boy home for Thanksgiving. He's going to be around. What if I laid a bill in front of his plate this week? That's going to be $22.50. You don't charge. If you love to do something for your family, whether it's cooking or something else, you don't charge them for that. You don't expect to get paid for that. You're not going to write them out, you know, a glass of tea's $2.25, and did you have a piece of chicken or two? And you don't do that because you enjoy doing that. You don't expect to get paid for doing that because your pay is, you know, that my family could sit down together and we could enjoy a good meal together and fellowship together. That's why you're doing what you're doing. And if they say thank you, that's pay enough. If they'll just thank you for what you've done. You know, the Lord, He really doesn't ask a whole lot out of us. It's not asking too much that we'd be thankful unto Him and bless His name. The way He sets the table for us, the way He takes care of us, the way He does for us, we ought to be able to say, thank you, Lord. If I've cooked something for my family, if I've made something on the grill, I'm looking for that. I'm listening for that. I want to hear at least, thank you. That was real good. That's pay enough for me. Boy, we ought to be able to tell the Lord, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for blessing us the way that you have. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Our lives ought to abound with thanksgiving. It ought not to be something we just do once a year or once every once in a while. We ought to be a thankful people for all the Lord has done for us. Kim made supper last night, and of course my uncle passed away, and the phone was ringing, and there's a lot going on, and she got on the phone. She was trying to fix supper, and she had put some bread in the toaster, and she turned it on, and then she forgot about it. You know what that makes. But she came to me, and I was doing something, and she was so happy. She said, Jesus saved our toast. And I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? She said, I'm trying to fix supper, and I got distracted, and I cut it on, but it wasn't plugged in all the way. It was only halfway in. She said, so it went through the timer and it dinged. And she said, I heard it ding and I thought, oh no, my toast is burned up. But it didn't, the heating element didn't work, just the timer. She said, Jesus saved our toast. Praise the Lord. You say, that's silly. I'd rather hear that than I would, boy, we sure were lucky. What's lucky? Lucky's nobody and nothing. I'd rather hear the Lord praise. The Lord did bless. I'm thankful for that. I've tried to eat that black toast before and scrape the top off, and it's not as good. I'm thankful that happened like that. That's just a little thing. But we ought to have an attitude. It ought to be so much a part of our lives that it ought to be easy coming off our lips. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We never get in the car and go anywhere that we don't say, Lord, help us to get there. Lord, I'm thankful for the safe trip. Lord, I'm thankful for the food. Lord, I'm thankful for all these things that you've done for me. Thankfulness says something. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Thank you, Lord. It's an attitude. It's an action. Go back to verse number 3. It is an acknowledgement. Thankfulness is an acknowledgement. Look what it says. Know ye. Now, you ought to underline that. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Did you make yourself? You'd be silly to say that. Where'd we come from anyway? God made us. God created us. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, thankfulness is an acknowledgement. The blessings that I have in my life are not because I've had good luck down through life. The blessings that I have are not because that I've been raised in favorable circumstances. The blessings that I have in my life are not something that I have self-made, that I have brought about myself, but all of the blessings that I have are from the Lord. He's the one that made us. He's the one that's blessed us. He's the one that is watched over and cared for us like a shepherd looks over his sheep. All that I am or ever hope to be, and all that you are today and ever hope to be, it is because of the Lord. He is the source of it. It's because of Him. All of the blessings of life, all of the health that you have. Do you have your health today? That's worth more than silver and gold. If you're just able to get out of the bed this morning and come to the house of God, you are blessed beyond measure. If you have your health, if you have your strength, if you have a presence of mind, if you have a peace of mind, that is a blessing from the Lord. And we ought to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my strength. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you for my church. I was thinking about today, I'm thankful for my neighborhood. I'm thankful for good neighbors. I'm thankful to have a home, and you know, the heat works, and we made a fire this weekend and it makes it warm in there. All these things, that's from the Lord. That is a blessing from God. He has given unto me all the things, all my country that I live in. I know we have abundant problems, but I'd rather live here than a lot of other places. The vehicles you drive. I would have thought about this a lot this week. Brother Raymond Johnson mentioned this the other night. And he asked one of the ladies, he said, have you ever went to your closet and just looked in there and said, I don't have a thing to wear? He said, what does that really mean? And he asked one of the ladies to answer, and one of the ladies said, that means that I can't decide what to wear. I don't think anybody goes and looks in the closet and says, I don't have a thing to wear. How many pairs of shoes do you have? Isn't it good and warm in here this morning? I thought about Brother Patrick saying that he remembered coming to church and there's a wood stove and you'd sit down on the pew and you could see your breath. How many would be here this morning if that's the way it was? I'm not going down there. It's freezing. How many shoes do you have? How many Bibles do you have? How many cars do you have? It's because of the Lord. How much food do you have in your refrigerator and in your freezer at home? Don't say, well, I don't have anything to eat. No, you don't want to take time to fix it. Let's just go down here to the restaurant this afternoon. Just let them put it in front of us. That's all right. But it's only because of the blessings of the Lord that you're able to have money to go and buy some food. That you're able to go out and eat and spend $40 or $50 or $60 or $100. Just sit down with your family and eat a meal. It's a blessing of the Lord. Heat to to buy, to heat a building, all of these things, all the things that we have. The Bible said there in verse number 3, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." We're like the sheep, and He's the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd takes good care of his sheep? He watches over them. He protects them. He provides for them. If they're sick, He nurses them back to health. If they're lost, He goes out and finds them. When the evening comes, He gets them into the sheepfold. When the wolves come, He runs them off. He's a good shepherd this morning. He's good to His sheep. Sheep are dumb. We have a good shepherd. That makes up for it. Makes up for our dumbness sometimes that we have in our lives. We have a good shepherd. He's watching after me many times when I didn't care about my own self. He's a good shepherd. He came where I was and found me. I think many times when I think about a shepherd, I think about hearing my grandpa in the evenings. And he'd holler out and them sheep would come running off the hill. And if they didn't all come in, here he'd go out to find them. He'd worked all day. He'd put in his day's work, but here he'd go to find them sheep. The Lord's a good shepherd. He watches after us when we don't come in, when we ought to, when we're out in the elements, when we're in danger. We may not even realize it, but He's thinking about us. He's watching over us. It's an acknowledgement. Thankfulness is an acknowledgement that all of my blessings come from the Lord. It could all be different tomorrow. I could be sick. Somebody in my family could die. I could lose what I have. But today, I have what I have. It's all because of Him. It's an acknowledgement. Last of all, this morning, we'll look at verse number 5. Thankfulness is accountable. And what I mean by using that word, it is accountable. I mean, you could go down the list and say, number 1, number 2, number 3. Look how good God is. It is accountable. Number 1 in verse number 5, He said, "For the Lord is good." You say, "I don't know how to be thankful. I don't know what to be thankful for." Number 1, the Lord is good. Let me tell you something about good. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Every good thing comes from God. Every good thing. You say, "Oh, that's not so. There's a club out here, there's an organization out here, and they do good. They try to help people." Well, why do they try to help people? We studying about charity this morning in our Sunday school lesson. Who wouldn't want that taught in the school? If we had charity in the schools, if we had charity among ourselves, if we had charity in society, charity, that's love. Love is good. But you kick out God and you've kicked out love. Love is a good thing. Love will make you take care of one another. It'll cause you to behave right. It'll change your life. The Bible said in verse number 5, "For the Lord is good." That's why we ought to be thankful. Because God is good unto us. I know that there's plenty of bad. I know there's plenty of bad news. My goodness, watch the TV and there's a lot of bad, bad this and bad that. People throw off on the Bible. Oh, in the Bible they is mean and they killed each other. Sure they did. The Bible's real. It's not a fictional story. That's the way it was. But nobody comes over and says, "What about the Good Samaritan? What about the one that came along and read?" See, they never look at the good. They just always want to look at the bad. The Lord is good. Psalms 150, the Bible said, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary." That's here in the house of God this morning. "Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You got breath this morning? Try praising Him. It'll make your outlook a whole lot better if you just turn the news off and, yeah, that's going to be there tomorrow, but just think about it a little while. The Lord is good. And if you got breath, you ought to praise His name. Say, thankfulness is accountable. Number one, the Lord is good. Number two, look what it says. His mercy is everlasting. God's merciful. So, oh, preacher, it's bad with me today. It's not as bad with you as it ought to be. If we really got what we deserved, we'd all be in hell this morning. You have won the spiritual lottery if you're saved by the grace of God. The great, great majority of people in this world, they don't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ and His great love and His sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary and how He loves sinners so much. Amen. That He gave His only begotten Son, and then He says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Say, oh, preacher, I don't know if He would accept me. I don't deserve to be saved. No, you don't. But nobody deserves to be saved, but His mercy is everlasting. You know what mercy is? Mercy means this. It means to stoop in kindness to an inferior. And that's what God does to us every time He saves somebody. No, you don't deserve to be saved, but He'll reach down where you are. He'll pick you up and He'll set your feet on a solid rock and He'll put a new song in your mouth and you'll sing praise unto God. He'll change your life. That's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God that allows us to do anything or go anywhere. It's the mercy of God that you even come to church today. You could have been over in the hospital. You could have been planning to go eat Thanksgiving with your family and you didn't make it. But God's merciful and God let us be here. God let you hear His word today. His mercy, the Bible says, is everlasting. He's still saving. He's still changing lives. He's still offering salvation unto us. His mercy is everlasting. Number three, and His truth endureth to all generations. What is His truth? That's the Word of God. It's all the promises. Not a one of them's expired. All that God has said He would do for us. There's no expiration date on that. Oh, preacher, that Bible's old. We can't trust it. I trust it every day. The Word of God is more up to date today than this morning's newspaper. The newspaper landed in my driveway this morning. When it landed on the gravel, it was already old news. That happened yesterday. Some of it happened last night, but it's already being replaced. Reporters somewhere is thinking about today's news. And that newspaper I got today is going to end up in the fire or cleaning glass. It's all it's good for, but God's Word, His truth, it's good today, it's good tomorrow. It was good for Grandma and it was good for Grandpa. And it got them through the hard times, and it got them through raising their family, and it got them through old age, and it got them right up to when they died and went to heaven. That Word of God is good enough for me. It's good enough for you. You take God's Word and you trust it, you'll find out that is true. God's word is true. Them politicians, they'll lie to you. People out here in the world, they'll lie to you. God's never lied to you. He cannot lie. It is contrary to His nature. He does not contradict Himself. He has given us His Word. And His Word is just as real and just as relevant and just as accurate today as it ever has been in all of history. We've got God's Word right on our laps this morning. People say, "Oh, preacher, I wish God had sent me a letter that I'd know what to do." He already has. His truth endureth to all generations. Thankfulness is accountable. Number one. Number two. Number three. Try that sometime. If you get in a bad way and you're feeling all depressed, and just try counting your blessings. You ever tried that? It'll help you. It'll help you to get a different outlook on life. But it's something that we do on purpose. You got to slow down. And you got to take time and you got to think about it in order to really, really be thankful. Can you imagine what kind of church service we would have if we all came, like it says in Psalms 100, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Not went to church and tried to get thankful there, but we came in that way. Oh my goodness, we might be past 12. We might praise Him a little while. We might thank Him for all He's done for us. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask the ladies to come, Brother Dale, to get us a song of invitation.